Now, I'd like to introduce our speaker. She has been a member of the church here for several years, and then she went away to take care of her mom for the last 5 years. And now she's starting on a new journey. But while she was here, she attended Millie's spiritual development classes. And Millie had tuned in to Kathy, and she said, "You and Pat Walsh have something in common." And I thought, well, how interesting. I had wanted to be a nun at one time. Thank God I didn't do that. I think I would have gotten kicked out. Oh, you never know. Well, the connection was my ex-husband's brother. And he was a chiropractor, David Bakunas, and Kathy worked for him. Is that a small world? This was in St. Louis. Yeah. So that was just fun to know. That was a delight. Well, Kathy, as you know, writes and sings music, and she also wrote a book, and it's called Waking Up Sober in the Convent. That cracks me up. And the title is Waking Up Sober in the Convent and Other Spiritual Adventures, which is really neat. Now, if any of you are interested in reading her book, it's on her website, and that is wakingupsober.com. How fun. Well, we are really pleased to have Kathy here, and give her a big welcome.
Thank you, Pat. I'm so excited to share with you guys tonight. Get myself situated here. So it was 5 years ago, around this time, that I moved to Florida to take care of my mom, who had dementia. And how many here have family members or loved ones who are dealing with dementia, or you know someone who is dealing with dementia? It's a difficult journey. It really is a difficult journey. So tonight I'm going to share a little bit about that journey with you. And I also want to share some of the spiritual concepts I've learned from Millie's classes, from spiritualism, as well as from The Course in Miracles, and from this book, The Way of Mastery. This book was channeled, I call him Jay, Jesus, channeled by Jay, in the 90s, whereas The Course in Miracles was channeled in the 70s. And the course is beautiful, but it can be hard to understand. This is just so much easier to understand. So if you go on wayofmastery.com or .org, I think it is, you'll be able to find this book. And I'll share some of those concepts that I've learned from that. It really helped me to deal with my mom's dementia. So, you know, as you've probably experienced, those who raised their hands, we don't always know we're dealing with dementia when our loved one starts getting forgetful. And I think it's pretty natural for denial to creep in. And like, I was telling myself things like, well, so she forgets where she put her keys, or she forgets what happens last week. No big deal, you know. I was minimizing. I was pretty much in denial. And my family in New York took my mom up from Florida to New York to live with them for a year. And I went to visit. And I went to visit in New York and brought my mom back down to her home in Florida for a week so she could see her friends. She still had some memory there. And so my sister and family could have a little bit of a break. And while she was there, she just relaxed and lit up. She was back in her home, and she loved it. And I thought, if I can get my company to let me work from home in Florida, I can get Mom back in her house. So that's what I did. It took 3 months to get the green light to do that from my job, and I was able to move to Florida, 6 days driving on the road by myself, which was really an adventure. And I'll tell you about that another time. but it really was an adventure, and I was excited to be able to spend quality time with my mom. My mom was always my buddy. I would go home in the summer to visit my family in New York. Mom would come up from Florida, and Mom and I would hang out together. We were bumblies, you know. We would go get Starbucks coffee and drive up to Albany area to visit my other sister. She was my best friend. And as I started to realize just how her memory was slipping, I was surprised at the emotions I felt. I started to feel angry at her. She would sit there in front of the TV, zoning out, spacing out. And my mom's dementia was a vascular dementia, which is very much related to lifestyle, poor lifestyle choices. And there may be other things going on too. But I just felt so angry that she didn't take care of herself and that now we didn't get to really enjoy her. And I felt guilty about feeling angry. So I had to work through that. You know, and so it's very natural when our loved ones, in whatever capacity, start to lose their abilities. It's very natural for us to have emotions that surprise us, and we just really need to be patient with ourselves. And I had to tell myself that it's a process. It's okay to have my feelings. And then I moved through that, and I started to have compassion, and I started to realize the things I needed to do to really support my mom. I had to keep my sentences short. I had to raise my mom. I never had my own children, and I felt like I was the mom, and I was raising my mom. And it was really an honor to be there for her. On the weekends, we would make a point to go to the beach, and she would float. We would both float on our noodles. If you know what a noodle is, it's a styrofoam stick. And we would float on the noodles and, you know, waist-deep water, and we would sing and laugh and just really enjoy each other's company. And the strangest thing would happen, though. On the way home, Mom would get very quiet, and she would get, like, paranoid. She's like, they're there. They're at the house. Very, very convincingly, they're at the house. I'm like, who's at the house, Mom? Oh, you know. You know who's there. We got to be careful. And she was like very serious. And her dementia was taking the form of kind of a paranoid delusion. And it was really startling to me because I wasn't expecting that. And we had a dog at the time. I was able to have my dog, Jesse, come join us in Florida. And I would reassure my mom, Mom, Jesse will not let anyone into the house. The house is secure. It's okay. But she was adamant about it. And what struck me as I learned about the Course in Miracles, the Course says things like, God is love and only love is real. We are children of God and we are real. And what is real is eternal. What is real never fades, never changes. Love is always love. And so when I was seeing these delusions in my mom, and her forgetfulness, it was a good reminder for me that that is a changing, shifting thing, and that that is part of this dream that we're living in, really, this beautiful dream. Sometimes it's a horrible dream, but that my mom's light, her soul, her spirit, is not being harmed by her dementia. She is not being harmed in any way. She is still the beautiful light inside. And that right now there are times when it was being kind of shielded by this disease. I'm sure you all know the song, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. You know, what wisdom in that children's song. You know, it really helps to put things in perspective. So there were many things that I learned from the Course in Miracles and the Way of Mastery that really helped help me to stay centered in the fact that my mom is okay, while allowing myself to feel angry and sad that she was changing. Things like, I am one with God. My mom is one with God. God is but love, and so am I, and so is my mom, and so are all of you. We are all just love, only love. And teach only love, for that is what you are. And what does it mean? What does the word teach really mean? It means to demonstrate, to express. And so our true identity is love, and that was my base to come, my home base to come back to when things were challenging and difficult. It's like, what's the most loving thing I could do? And eventually we needed to put mom in memory care, and I'm the second oldest of eight children, and it all kind of culminated around a time. It was April of 2016. Mom was getting up four or five, six times a night. And I had, through the Alzheimer's.com website, I ordered a motion detector where I could place it at a certain place so that when she passed it, there was a recorder that I placed by my room that said, I recorded a message to myself. It would say, Mom is up, Mom is up. And I would wake up and make sure she hadn't fallen, she hadn't left the house, you know, that she was okay. But it got to the point where she was getting up five to six, seven times a night, and I was getting exhausted. I was working from home part-time, and it was just hard to juggle all that. Mom would go to an adult daycare program so that I could work, and then I would pick her up at the end of the day and fix dinner. Poor mom had to deal with my dinners. I'm not much of a cook, so it was interesting. But she was a sport. I remember one night I fixed her like a Trader Joe's frozen pizza, and I think I overcooked it a bit, and she looked at her plate like, that this is all we're having. So we had some good times together laughing about different things. But as it turned out, my family members had planned to come down and visit and give me a little bit of respite so that they could come and spend time with mom. And we were realizing we needed to place her in a memory care assisted living facility. So we visited different ones and we picked one. And then I would go and visit her there after work. I would visit her anywhere from four to five times a week, just making sure that she remembered me so that I could get my mom fixed. And to make sure she was being well cared for. She was in memory care for 2 years. Let's see, 2.5 years. And she passed away this past April. And it was obviously a very sad, you know, to have her go, but it was also a relief to know that she wasn't confined to a body and a mind that wasn't working anymore, you know? We all just wanted her to be free. In fact, there were times when she was still pretty with it and physically moving. She wound up in a wheelchair after a while. She forgot how to walk. But before that, in the house, there were times when her legs would give out and I'd have to run and get a chair and have her sit down and gather her strength back up. But there were times when I just really wished that she would go before that kind of an end, you know, the end that dementia tends to bring. But it wasn't her time, and it wasn't my decision. It was her decision. It was her journey, and I had to accept that. So I know that can be it's a heavy topic. But I come back to, we are beings of love. You know, it's like God is the ocean, and we are the waves. We are the waves expressing. Sometimes the wave is a big, ferocious wave, and sometimes it's a small wave, and sometimes it's just a very tiny wave with all that foam on it, you know? And that's each of us. We express in different ways, and we even express differently depending on our mood and the day of the week or what we're doing. I got to shoot hoop today, and I was like a little kid out there on the basketball court. You know, so we all have the things that give us life and give us energy. And so when I start to feel sad, it's because I miss my mom. I miss the conversation. I missed the hugs. Mom and I would sing. I would sing songs to her, and she loved music. I know that she's still with me. In fact, when she passed, I felt her presence. I felt like this warm, as if this warm blanket was just hugging me. It just felt so wonderful. So there's a couple little songs I'd like to share with you that kind of speak to some of these concepts. A couple years ago, I wrote this song out of the longing of wanting to be connected to God, and it went like this. Heal my heart, heal my mind, make me one in you. Heal my soul, make me whole, make me one in you. And that was coming from that place of wanting, that place of longing. And as I started to meditate more and let the messages from the Way of Mastery and the Course in Miracles and all the teachings that Millie has given us, as I let those really sink in, I wrote this. One heart, one mind, we are one in you. Gentle soul, we are whole, we are one in you. We are connected to the source. And how do we do that? How do we get there? So I wrote this. Meditate, appreciate, we are one in you. Shine your light, shine so bright, we are one in you. And when we come from that place of that oneness, you know, that's when our creativity flows, that's when our compassion flows, that's when our sense of humor flows. You know, I really think God has a great sense of humor, and it flows through us. I want to close with a song that I wrote to my mom and dad. I sang it last week, but not all of you were here last week, and I got another request for it. So when my dad passed in 2003, I really wanted to write a song about him, but nothing came. And then when my mom passed, it came. And I realized, you know, my mom and dad have always been such a team. And so it was kind of appropriate that the song needed to be about both of them. You know, to raise 8 kids together is an amazing feat, and we all turned out pretty well, I think. So this is the song to my parents. It's kind of from my inner child to your inner child. So here we go. I hope you had a mom and dad like me, who wanted you to be all you could be, who highly valued the family. Hope you had a mom and dad like me. I hope you knew a father's gentle hand, who gave you love and tried to understand, who would help you with your plans. I hope you had a dad like me. I hope you knew a mother's gentle love, her sweet smile and nurturing hug, invoking God's help from above. I hope you had a mom like me. They gave the greatest gift of all. When we're together, we have a ball. Brothers and sisters, I love you all. So glad you had a mom and dad like me. They taught us always to do our best, to give warm welcome to a guest. Yes, we were mighty blessed to have a mom and dad like me. I hope you had a mom and dad like me, who wanted you to be all you could be, who highly valued the family. I hope you had a mom and dad like me. Oh, I hope you had a mom and dad like me. Yes, I hope you had a mom and dad like me. Thank you.